once again. Craig Forrest of Soccer Central is one of our soccer analysts in Sportsnet. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, Craig, it's a final. I mean, you know, it's always special when the host country advances to the final, when it has a chance to win on its own soil. But this is kind of an intriguing matchup, isn't it? Because Portugal, you either, I don't know if anybody's neutral about Portugal. You either like Portugal or you look at Portugal as the team that Cristiano Ronaldo plays for, and therefore it's a team that's awfully hard to cheer for. I don't think they're necessarily a neutral team, are they?
No, I think I agree with you 100% there. You either like him or you don't. You either like Ronaldo or you don't like his antics. But one thing we know for sure, he's one of the best players that's ever played this sport. And he's carried the team quite a long way in the past. In this tournament, he's had some help from others as well. The team is built strongly and on defense. They'll try to grind teams down. They use what they have. There's some similarities there to my national team experience with Canada, 3-10 in the Gold Cup in 2000, where we didn't have anybody like Ronaldo, obviously, but we didn't play attractive football, but we did what we had to do to get to the final, and then we actually played a decent game in the final. Tournament football is like that. You don't necessarily have to be the best team in the tournament. And if we go back to which Portugal will probably look at very, very carefully, is the 2004 final between Portugal and Greece. Portugal were hosts. They were foregone conclusion. They would win this tournament. Greece were 80-1 long shot coming into it. And they ended up pulling up a massive upset in a match that they were outplayed heavily, the Greek national team. So you never know in 90 minutes. It's a one-off game. They do grind things out, and they also have the wild card with Ronaldo. And Manny's done well, and the young lad, Renato Sanchez, 18-year-old, has also been brilliant, and he's come in halfway through the tournament. So it's been a dream for them. They've grinded it out, and they know they're only 90 minutes away now.
And you know, in the French team, I mean, they're meeting a club with just an amazing collection of talent, of offensively talented players. They might be, Craig, is it safe to say that they are the most raw, gifted team in this tournament, the French?
I would say so. That's a pretty good, accurate description. I mean, they didn't have to qualify, obviously, for this. So they've been playing friendlies for some time, and they have a great deal of individual talent. And the question mark coming in was whether they were going to blend and play as a team, as a unit. And they certainly have done that. And the question mark's over the defense. I mean, the Germans created a ton of chances. I heard you just talk off the top there about all the opportunities that they had. And on any other day, they might have scored 3 or 4. But this is, again, tournament football. And Muller was off his game in this tournament. In the World Cup, he seems to score for fun. Gomez was missing, Khedira, Hummel. So they had some issues there. And I thought the first goal was very, very important. And the handball by Schweinsteiger just before half was the gift that the French were looking for. And then the second half, I thought they played really, really well. So they are a team. They played like a team. They've handled the pressure of playing at home, even though you do have an advantage there. But there's also the pressures to get to the final. And they now can sort of relax and really have a great opportunity, obviously, to win on home soil again, like they did in the World Cup back in 1998.
You know, Craig, what did you make of Germany at this tournament? I mean, they're the defending world champions. They're a tremendous team. Again, they control possession a lot of the time. But I've got to think that if you're the German program, you know, you've got 2 years, and you're looking at, I don't know if you'd say you're looking at a crisis up front, but you know, even looking at their under-19, under-21 team, there's some good players, but it seems as if they're all defenders or midfielders or wingers, and I don't know if there's really that classic center forward there. Is Germany kind of going in an age where they may have to, you know, be using a false nine and sort of trying to make it up almost as they go along?
Well, I don't know. The Germans never have been a country that make it up as they go along. Mm. They're very structured and we know how they are as a national team. They always seem to get a well. They had to have a look at their national program. And their league, unlike the English Premier League, the German league is set up as a pyramid, and the very top of that pyramid is the national team. So many players have to be German to play in the national team. Their German teams are not owned by foreigners who don't care about the national team. So it's structured in a way that is going to make your national team competitive, and it always will be. And I don't think there'll ever be an issue there as far as the German team having a major crisis. Yeah, there might be some times when the stars don't quite align, but there's always talent coming out of that country, and they develop it over and over again. And I don't think there's any worries there. And I think that German fans, just because of the one-off game where they had some suspensions and injuries and could have on another day won this match, I don't think there's an awful lot to worry there for the German side.
I mean, I would guess one of the takeaways for the Germans is it appeared as if, you know, despite being at least partially at fault on the second goal, it looks like in Joshua Kimmich, they may kind of have the answer to the question, you know, who's going to replace Philipp Lahm. He looked awfully, not only did he look good, but it was interesting how in the first half, it seemed as if a lot of the German attack went through him. Certainly the side that he was on and the side Ozil was on, it seemed as if that was sort of where the play was going. And we're talking about, what, a 21-year-old kid who couldn't get regular playing time.
Exactly. So this is a good example of the conveyor belt that is the German national side. And Kimmich has come into the side, and I thought he was very, very strong. And as a youngster coming into that side, a lot of pressure, and I thought he dealt with it brilliantly well. And he is one definitely for the future. And again, great example of the talent that they have and that they develop over and over again, year on, year out.
Are there any trends from this tournament so far that we may want to keep an eye on going forward? You know, I think going into the tournament, a lot of people thought there was going to be a lot of defensive soccer. There was going to be a lot of counterattacking, sort of the Leicester City model, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see as much of that as you thought you'd see? And is that kind of the way soccer is probably going to go, at least in the immediate future?
I hope not. I mean, I think that we've seen a lot of defensive football in this, and whether that was the expansion from 16 to 24 teams, there was a bit of a risk at that we might see defensive football. But on the other hand, you had some terrific stories in this tournament too, where you might not have had before. Smaller clubs, Iceland, Wales, that have done incredibly well, Northern Ireland. So there's been some really feel-good stories about it because of the expansion. But overall, we saw attacking football for the most part in 2014 World Cup, but this Euro was quite defensive. And international football can be that way. It's not, the league football is totally different. It's not as cagey, and it's more end-to-end, and especially the Premier League anyway, which is attractive but doesn't necessarily fit well with international football. So I hope we don't see, I'd like to see a little bit more attacking football, but I think when you expand to 24 teams, you will have teams that are playing against the stronger teams, if you like, that will defend and try to grind out results and even play for penalties and can make for pretty unattractive football. I've got to be honest. I mean, a lot of people, and even myself from a tactical standpoint, will think some of it is actually quite brilliant. But from a neutral's point of view, I can see why people in Canada and elsewhere, certainly in North America, can think that the sport is can be a little bit on the boring side. And I think that we saw some of that defensive football that isn't exactly attractive for neutrals. And unless you're like a Portuguese fan, you're not going to be too pleased with the way Portugal play, for instance. And I'd like to see a little bit more attacking football, but we'll have to see in the future. But that's certainly a trend that I saw in this tournament.
All right, Craig, we'll put you on the spot. Who wins?
France wins this game, I think 3-1.